Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Trudy Weekman, so that people are able to hear the message of salvation. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a fantastic Old Testament lesson we have for today. Today really is one of the classics. It's one of the most memorable lessons, I would say, probably in the scriptures, that people very often remember and think about, and it shapes the way that we think about heaven to some degree. It shapes the way that we think about who our God is and what he has done. And it's deeply formative for us in the way that we think about many things, or at least it should be. And the reason, of course, that this reading is so powerful in our minds and our imaginations is because the happenings in this story are epic. The setting is, as I said, heaven, or the throne room of God. The characters are otherworldly. The events are cataclysmic. And so, because they are so grand and they are filled with so much grandeur and power and might and awe, frankly, that is what captures our attention. That is what helps this particular reading to stick in our minds. And so let's think about that a little bit now. This is coming from the prophet Isaiah, but it's coming from the prophet Isaiah prior to his call, prior to his work, prior to his job, which is to go out and, to put it succinctly, to preach the word of God. And so he finds himself gazing on the Lord in a vision or a transportation or something like that. He finds himself gazing upon the Lord in his own throne room. As the prophet says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. So he has this vision of the Lord God Almighty, and he sits there upon a throne as a king, as the king that he is, and he is elevated above all things. He is over all things. He is before all things. He is greater than all things. He is high and lifted up. And as the prophet continues, he says, the train of his robe filled the temple. That is, the robe of the Lord is so long, it is so regal, it is surpassing in greatness of all the kings of the earth, that his robe fills the temple. And by temple, he means simply the place where the Lord God reigns. And so, the Lord God is so great, he's so mighty, he's so powerful, that even the train of his robe fills the temple. And up above him, above this king seated upon his throne, stood the seraphim. The seraphim, of course, are angels, and there's much written about them and speculated about them, what exactly they are. Are they a rank or an order of angels? We won't get too much into that today. But understand that these are angels, that is, spiritual creatures created by the Lord God to serve him as his personal attendants and to do his will and to do his bidding where and when he sends them. Thankfully, the prophet offers us a very vivid description of who these seraphim are and what they look like, at least in part. And he says, each of these seraphim had six wings. What a strange picture. With two of his wings, the prophet says, he covered his face. And with two of his wings, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. The seraphim, of course, covers his face because even as the personal attendant and servant of the Lord, he is not worthy even to look upon the King of the universe, the Lord God Almighty, sitting on his throne. And so his servants veil their faces so that they wouldn't look and dishonor their king. With two wings, of course, he covers his feet. Because as the servant of the Lord God Almighty, it is not fitting that the Lord, the King of the universe, would need to look upon his lowly feet, even though those very feet do his bidding. And with his remaining two wings, these seraphim fly around. That's how they go from the presence of the Lord to do whatever it is that he tasks them with doing. But what is it that these three seraphim in particular are doing? We're told, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Now, this is a song that shapes our imagination not only because it's recorded here in the prophet Isaiah, that is the song of these mighty warrior angels, but of course because the church in her wisdom enthroned this song in glory, and every time we sing it, called the Sanctus, we join our voices with the voices of the angels and acknowledge that God, our Lord, is King and Creator, that he is the Lord, that is the ruler of hosts, that is many, many servants that do his will, and that in fact the entire earth is filled with his glory. And the prophet turns again now away from the seraphim and says that the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. The foundations of the thresholds shook. The room is shaking because of the power of the voice of the Lord. And the whole house, the whole place is filled with smoke, obscuring the vision and making all of this strangeness even more mysterious. And it's then at that moment, at that time, that the prophet realizes he is in trouble. "Woe is me," he says, "for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah realizes that he is in trouble because he comes into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord's righteousness, the Lord's holiness, the Lord's perfection and power and might serves as a mirror to the prophet. And the prophet looks and he sees that by contrast, he is filthy and unclean. Even the seraphim are veiling their faces and their feet in the presence of the Lord, and the prophet realizes that he is in trouble because he stands here and looks on the King of the universe with face uncovered. And he sees himself clearly in the reflection of the Lord, and he knows that he is a man who is not clean. His lips are unclean, and he is not fit to stand and gaze on the Lord of hosts, because he is, as he says, a man of unclean lips, and it's worse than that. He comes from a people of unclean lips. And the prophet is so concerned about his unrighteousness in the presence of the Lord that he sees that he ought to die. But then the Lord saves him.
one of the seraphim flies over with those two wings dedicated to transportation. He flies over to the prophet and he brings to the prophet a burning coal in his hand. This burning coal he has used tongs to remove from the altar of the Lord. And he brings over this burning coal. I can just see it sitting in the seraphim's hand, white hot from the altar of the Lord. And he takes it and he touches the prophet's mouth. He touches the prophet's mouth, the primary tool that he will use to bring the word of God to those people with unclean lips. And the seraphim touches the prophet's mouth with that burning coal, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." The Lord sends his servant, the seraphim, to the prophet Isaiah, and he cleanses those unclean lips. He purifies the mouth of the prophet for the task of preaching. He uses his word to direct his servant, to purify another servant for a task that is at hand that he is fit for. And it's by the touching of this coal that the prophet is cleansed, that his guilt is taken away, that his sins are covered. And then it is in light of that action that the Lord speaks. The Lord calls. The prophet hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The Lord calls because he has work that needs doing. And the prophet, newly cleansed, shouts out, "Here am I, send me." He no longer reacts to the Lord in fear or terror. He is no longer timid and thinking that himself is worthy to die, but realizing that the Lord has sent his servant to him and his word has worked and purified the lips. That he now is called, and it is his task to take that word to the world, to his people that need to hear. Brothers and sisters, one of the most miraculous things about this reading is that it is as applicable today, it is as real and living today as it was when it was penned by the prophet Isaiah many generations ago. The fact of the matter is, when we gather together here in the presence of the Lord, when we come together in the divine service, we come into the very throne room of God. And we sing with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven that the Lord God is King forever, that he alone is the ruler of the earth, that he is holy, 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 and that the whole earth is full of his glory. And yet when we too come into the presence of the Lord's word, we recognize and see that we of ourselves are unclean, that we are not fit for the task that the Lord calls us to. And yet it's in this same place that our Lord God sends to us his servant who brings his gifts. It is in this place that by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are cleansed, we are restored, we are prepared for whatever task the Lord God would call us to. And it's here, in this very place, that our Lord calls us by his word, that he tasks us with the various callings that he has given to us in our lives to serve as fathers and mothers, as parents or children, as brothers and sisters. It is in this place that he instructs us how he would have us to do whatever it is that he has called us to do. And so every week we step here into the throne room of God as people of unclean lips who dwell, as you know all too well, among a people of unclean lips. But it's in this place that the Lord, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses us and prepares us to preach his word to a people that needs to hear. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.